Let's just go down to the end of the text we'll be preaching from this morning. We'll preach, we'll touch on verses 18 through 38, but if you would just jump down with me here to the end of Matthew chapter 9, let's look at verse number 36. The Bible says this, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him if he'd bless the preaching this morning. I'm going to pick on, let me pick on Jim Richardson. Jim, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to take a little bit of time this morning, if I can, and just get a little bit of a biblical worldview. And what I mean by that is I want to see things through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it is that He sees them. You're getting inundated nowadays, absolutely inundated with all kinds of perspective of the world around you. I mean, you can't turn on the news without seeing something about Afghanistan and something about politics and something about the different liberal movements in this nation. And we're just getting flooded constantly with all these bad reports and bad news and just overwhelmed every day. And what is truly happening to everybody, not just in this country, but around the world, coronavirus, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. We're getting flooded with all of this information, all of these reports coming in at all times. And the problem is, as a Christian, we like to have a biblical worldview, right? So, of course, we're going to gravitate towards the more biblical perspective of what is going on in this world. It's just madness. Is this it? Is the Lord fixing to come back? And is this the precursor to the mark of the beast? And what's happening? And all the, you know, as a Christian, you start wanting to see things from a biblical perspective. So you turn on your Christian radio. And when you turn on your Christian radio, it's, you know, news and politics from a biblical perspective. You know what you're actually getting? You're getting more news and more politics. From somebody's viewpoint that's coming from a little bit more of a mindset of philosophy, for lack of a better word, that you would be coming from. So, okay, maybe I'll get some comfort from this, but honestly, to be totally blunt about it without being ignorant, you're not really getting anything new. You're just getting a rehash of the same stuff you've already been getting from Fox and CNN and MSNBC and whatever else you like to look at. This morning, I believe you and I need to see things through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine with me, I was thinking about this in my office this morning, could you imagine with me if the Lord showed up this morning? I mean, he stepped in the room and it was him. And we're like, good, we're going out. And he says, no, I'm not here for a rapture. I'm here till somewhere around high noon and then I'm taking off and y'all can enjoy your lunch. I just want to let you know what's going on in the world around you, and I want you to see it from my perspective. How would that be, man? Wouldn't that be all right? Yes, well, he gave us a book so we can see it from his perspective. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to step a little bit out of who and what we are and what we've been kind of brainwashed with all week and all the thoughts and concerns and feelings and emotions that go on in your mind and in your heart as you, even if you try to avoid it, still get inundated with the news. And I want to try this morning, if God will help us just a little bit, to step back from all of it and begin to look at the world around us from the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, to start to look at things the way Jesus would look at them. This is going to be hard for you and I to do. Just telling you right now. Because when I say certain things, certain buzzwords, when I bring up certain subjects or certain lifestyles, when I talk about certain issues as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, there's a little bit of fire in your gut against some of what I'm going to tell you. Some of what you see going on. Amen. That's okay. It's all right. That's not me saying you're wrong. I'm saying there ought to be a fire in your gut against the liberal agenda of our day. Amen. It ought to make you angry when you watch them because they don't know how to reproduce. So instead, their goal is to recruit. And what they have to do is they have to brainwash and recruit your children. Does that not boil your blood just a little bit? It makes me angry when my daughter gets in the car and says, "Dad, my teacher said her job is to make me doubt everything you've ever told me." Oh, yeah? That ain't education. That's brainwashing. And then to proceed to try all year to brainwash her. And because my daughter believes the Bible and knows what she believes and is bold about her faith and bold about her witness, she becomes the target, the center of some frustration coming from the teacher. And I have to sit by and smile and go to pastor, not pastor teacher, parent teacher conferences and try not to be pastor teacher. And smile. Have somebody that's never even had a kid come in and tell you, because I went through the classes, I'm here to tell you how to raise your kid. Doesn't that make you mad? Yes. And it ought to some extent. But the problem is now, with all the division in this nation, have you not seen it? Yes. Oh, I'm a Republican. Great. What faction of Republican are you? Because they're splintered like you hit a dry log and just splinters going everywhere. There's all kinds. What does that mean anymore? Oh, I'm a Democrat. So what? I'm a Christian. What kind of Christian? Because there's all kinds of Christians nowadays. You can go to a gay church and say you're a Christian nowadays. What does that mean? There's so much division. There's so much splitting. There's so much controversy and tension and debating and arguing. Everywhere you go, it's every conversation. You have to be careful that you're not stepping on some kind of a landmine and about to get into some kind of a fight. The tension everywhere you go is something you can actually feel in the air, and you have to be paranoid about it all the time. So you know what's happened to us? We've become part of the problem rather than part of the solution. Because we play right into the hands of the devil, who's the god of this world, who's running the show. God is not the author of confusion, and by the way, the world is completely confused. And we've stepped right into it. Because instead of seeing things through the eyes of Jesus Christ and looking at them the way Jesus Christ looks at them, we've tried to take it, news and politics, from a biblical perspective. And now we're going to jump into the debate, but try to say, no, this is Bible, and God's the one backing me up. When you're trying to preach some kind of a political gospel to somebody who's on their way to a devil's hell, they know nothing about Jesus Christ, they know nothing about the Bible. You can say all you want, the Bible says, but if they don't believe the Bible, if they don't know the Bible's the Word of God, if they've never felt the convicting power of God's words in their mind and in their conscience and in their spirit, that means nothing to them. You're just another faction off of a faction. You're just another part of the problem, and they walk away from you more frustrated and zero helped. Right. We need to get our eyes on things, on the world around us, through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping your finger here in Matthew, we'll be right back in a minute. Please go back with me to the book of Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah in chapter number 10, if you would. Jeremiah chapter number 10. Is anybody confused at all? And I'm not saying doctrinally confused. I'm saying in the world you're living in, with the decisions you got to make, you ever get a little bit confused? All right? Look at what Jeremiah says in chapter 10, verse 23. Oh Lord, I know, don't know a lot, I'm confused, but here's something I know, God. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, some of the younger people in the room got no idea who you're going to marry, got no idea what exact career path you're going to go down or what your career path is going to become, I was reading this week, it's typically not till you're in your 40s where you're considered kind of established and settled in life and kind of know what your career path is and where you're going, and you kind of can see your goals are becoming more tangible and more reachable. You understand what I'm saying? And kind of on the mindset of being in your 40s, it's some interesting stuff. And the younger folks, it's like, where am I going to go and what am I going to do? And then when you're our age, it's like, man, how do I help a teenager get through the teen years? You figure one out, and you feel like it's going good, and you'll praise the Lord, and then a new one comes along, and they don't think the same way the other one thought. Their strengths and weaknesses are totally different than the last one, so you think you're the master because you did it well with one, and then another one comes along, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I don't have this thing all figured out. By the way, if you're ever talking to a parent who wants to tell you how to do it all because they got it figured out, write them off. That's not the one I want to talk to. What I'm trying to say is, we don't really know how to walk. Listen, without Jesus Christ, you don't really know how to walk. Without our Savior, without God guiding us, without a shepherd to lead us, you don't really know how to walk. You can be saved and still not be walking right. If you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't know Him, you don't know how to walk. This world doesn't know how to walk. So when you see the mess on the news, it ought not make you angry. It ought to break your heart. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Get around somebody who thinks they know it all, thinks they got it all under control. They're here to tell everybody else how to do everything. I don't have the time of day for a guy like that. It's not the one I want to talk to. Go over with me, if you would, please, to Jeremiah chapter 20. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9. Jeremiah's discouraged. I'm reading through Jeremiah in my own devotions this morning, and I think I feel a sermon coming on. Because when you know the circumstances of what's going on in the nation and how Jeremiah is one of the prophets toward the end of the whole mess, and how he's discouraged and beat down and how he's attacked and persecuted and pushed away and all that he goes through for the Lord, Jeremiah just gets exhausted, just exhausted. Not exhausted with God, but exhausted with life and exhausted with preaching. He gets to a point where he's like, I don't even want to tell these people what God said anymore. Jeremiah makes it between him and God because of Jeremiah's personal relationship with his Heavenly Father. That's the only reason he made it, is because he had the Bible in him, and it was in him deep. And he heard from God, and he knew God, and he walked with God. He had the presence of God in his life. And because of the presence of God in his life, he was able to continue in a very confusing, very wicked, very evil day. I mean, he cursed the day he was born. He said, why was my mother's womb not my grave? Why was she not perpetually pregnant with me? That was how sick of it all he got. Look what he's saying in chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I ain't talking about the Lord. Nor speak any more in his name. I'm done bringing him up. They don't want to hear him. If they don't want to hear him, they can go to hell. It's literally what he's saying. I'm done. But he had a little bit of a problem, see. The problem was, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, man, I had the word of God down in me. I'd been in that book. And I was just, man, I'm not saying nothing. I ain't talking to him. I ain't saying nothing. I'm done with him. You can go to hell. I'm done with him. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm not talking to these people. When I talk to them, they just want to hit me. They want to throw me in jail. They want to end my life. They want to mock God. I'm done with them. Man, something was down inside of him. Because he'd been putting the book in him. And he said, I got to a point, it was burning in my bones, and I couldn't hold it back anymore. Why? He had the Bible in him. And inside of him was that stirring and that burning. You know what the problem with Christians today is? They've got so much news in them. They got so much politics in them. They got so much. I'm not against it. You've heard me before, right? One of my biggest regrets is I didn't join the military. You understand that, right? Patriotism in them. That all that stuff overrides their relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're spending more time looking at Fox News than they are looking at King James 16:11. They're spending more time worrying about and praying about the nation than they are talking and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to draw closer to Him. So now you're in a day and time when you're living in the days like Jeremiah was in, and everything's a mess, and you know what's happening? You got nothing to draw from but news and politics from a biblical, distinctly Christian perspective. Okay? What about that book in your soul, because it's the words of God and your Heavenly Father is speaking to you, your Savior Jesus Christ is walking with you and directing your steps and working on your mind and working on your conscience and comforting your heart and giving you direction, and that book is just your love for the Bible is building up, your love for preaching. One of the ways you know you love the Bible is if you love Bible preaching. And that thing's building up and burning in you. And before long, you can't keep your mouth shut anymore. But make sure politics doesn't come out. For I heard the defaming, verse 10, of many. Anybody hear the defaming of many? Let's just rewind real quick. How about going back to when Trump was president? Anybody hear defaming of President Trump? All right, so we get him out of office and let's put his polar opposite in. Mr. I don't use notes, I just talk from the heart. And man, he could talk, boy. He's good. And then you bring in Mr. I can't remember my last sentence, right? I'm talking polar opposite in every way, right? And you know what you hear people doing now? Some of the people that were trying to put him in office are the ones that are now ripping him to shreds while he's in office. I heard the defaming of many. That's all you got out there. Watch. Fear on every side. People are afraid of the virus. People are afraid of the vaccine. People are afraid of getting the virus after they got the vaccine. People are afraid of getting the vaccine and what they're going to get if they don't get the virus, but they get the vaccine, and what are you going to get from getting the vaccine that you wouldn't have got even though you got the vaccine but you didn't get the virus? And the economy. What about the economy? What about our children? What about their liberal agenda? What about our liberties? What about gun rights? What about ammunition? What about the housing market? What am I going to lose my job or not lose my job over taking a vaccine? What about our kids? Are we going to go back into mask mandates or no mask mandates? Shutdowns or no shutdowns? Riots or not? Fear on every side. Watch it. Report, say they, and we will report it. You might as well just say, USA, say they. The culture of the USA. You know what is it? It's reporting, 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 reporting. You want to know what you're getting? Hearsay, 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 hearsay. Amen. Were you on the ground in Afghanistan? Did you see what's happening over there? How do you know that you're seeing the truth and not seeing what somebody's agenda wants you to see? Right. You know, we sat for a few hours this week, me and Miss Grace and Brother Tom and Siham, his fiance. If you haven't got a chance to meet her, make sure you do. You know it's apples and oranges when you sit with somebody that's from a Muslim nation and you talk to a Muslim, somebody from a Muslim nation about being a Christian in a Muslim nation. And hear from her what it was like to be a Christian in a Muslim nation. Hear from her daughter what it's like to be a teenage Christian in a Muslim school where you're being taught the Quran because you have to be. And what it's like to be a Christian in a Muslim nation. What it's like to have to worry about the police. What it's like to be forced to meet in a home. Because you don't have church buildings. You're not allowed to have a church building. How it is that, bizarrely enough, many people are coming to faith in Christ in those nations at this time. But they have to hide. Yeah, report, say they. Report. And you get all worked up about what you saw in the news. And what you saw might not even be the truth. You guys realize how distorted your view is when you're looking through a phone, through an app, or through a television? I'm just saying, you might see what you think you see, but what you're seeing is not accurate. Putting that camera on it changes things way more than you think it changes them. That's not truth and reality. That's somebody's reporting. Report, say they. But they don't want to hear what God says about anything, even though they're going to hell in a handbasket. They won't repent. They won't turn to God. And it gets you boiling after a while. And you say, I don't care anymore. Watch them. All my familiars watch for my halting. Everybody that knows me is waiting for me to trip up. Saying, peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Foul-mouthed guy taking the name of Jesus Christ every day, and you stand up for it, and you stand up for it, and you stand up for it at work. And then you smash your thumb, and blood just squirts everywhere, and the tip of that thumb pops like a grape. You ever see that? And the thing just shoots out in a V, like that. You know, you hit it, bam! And you say a word you probably shouldn't have said, and you know what they'll do? Oh, you're a Christian! That's what's frustrating them. They're looking for any little thing. And the first thing you think ain't, oh, bless the Lord, praise Jesus, this is really a blessing. We're supposed to praise the Lord in everything. I mean, if you're that spiritual, you're faking. You ever smash your thumb like that? I'm talking about smashing. I'm not talking about, you know, I had one that took time to grow out. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not talking about one of those little ones down there. I'm talking about smash it. And they're waiting. Johnny, did you guys see that? Johnny gave me a thumb up. He's got half a thumb over there. He gave me a thumbs up. That was a good one, Johnny. You know what they're saying? Got him. It's frustrating. But the Lord, verse 11, is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. You know what Jeremiah did right there at the end of that passage? And we'll stop reading there and go back to Matthew 9. You know what Jeremiah did at the end of that passage? He got an eternal perspective. In the middle of all that frustration, he said, you know what, God, you're with me like a mighty, terrible one. God, this world's going to hell and they don't want to hear it and they don't care about you and they're all messed up and it's just a complete train wreck. But man, I got God with me and God's mighty, boy. Amen. I got the Lord Jesus Christ and he can take care of me if he wants to. And I got him and he is going to deal with all that sooner or later. And he stepped out of his current circumstances and he got himself an eternal perspective. And no wonder Jeremiah didn't quit. You back in Matthew chapter 9? I want you to see some things here this morning. I want you to see the Lord's sight, what he saw in verse 36. What did he see when he looked at him? Look at the second phrase or the third phrase down there. It says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. You know what Jesus saw when he looked at people? He saw people fainting, losing their strength, falling down, falling apart. He saw them literally in a mess and scattered. Some couldn't even walk. Lord, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Some couldn't even walk. They're so falling apart. They can't even operate normally in life. They don't even know how to operate as a marriage. They don't even know how to operate as a parent. They don't even know how to operate in trying to love a wife and love their children. They don't know how to function. And when the Lord looked at them, that's what he saw. When's the last time you looked at them and saw that? Instead of, well, the divorce rate nowadays, everybody just quits all the time. Well, what's going on? Man, these people, these people, man, these people. You're being part of the problem. You need a perspective Jesus Christ has. You need to recognize these people are fainting. They're falling out. They can't take it anymore. And listen, not only that, but they're scattered as sheep that have no shepherd. They're just going every direction, whatever direction. I mean, what's right to you may not be right to me. What's right to me may be wrong to you and whatever. It's all good. Everything's fine. We don't know how to walk. We don't know where to go. I know saved people that are scattered as sheep that have no shepherd. You can see churches today. Churches that are scattered as sheep that have no shepherd. And the reason is because they've turned their preachers into professionals. They've turned their preachers into counselors. They've turned their preachers into administrators. No longer are they saying, preacher, preach us the Bible. Give us what God said. We want the Word of God. Preach it. Now it's, hey, well, what's the church have to offer my teens? Well, you know, Pastor, are you there to do counseling? And yes, I'm here to do counseling. That's fine. I'm just saying, I'm not a professional counselor. I mean, if you want a professional counselor, go hire one. They'll charge you $80 an hour, and you could sit there and share all your stuff, and they'll throw some stuff at you, and you'll go out there feeling better because you talked to somebody. Or you can build your life the way God will have you build it. I'm not saying you never need counseling. I'm just saying most of the time, if you're in that book and you're faithful to be in church where you need to be and you accept the preaching of the Word of God, you will get all you need Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to operate in this life, to learn how to handle your emotions, to make it through the ups and downs, to know how to follow God, to know how to walk in following Jesus Christ. Because in our text, everybody that followed Jesus Christ got the help they needed in their life. So I'm saying what we're lacking in this nation, especially among the saved people, is hearing the Word of God. And we offer it 3 times a week. Well, I'm too busy. I can't make it. Well, maybe you're too busy then. We've had to tell our kids, sorry, you can't participate in that sport. And I know you're a rock star. I get it. Listen, I don't care what nobody says. Mine are the best. Okay? And you should feel the same way. I didn't say they're better than you. I just said the best. And there can only be one best, so you could do the deduction. But no, I'm kidding. But listen, nothing thrills me more than watching my oldest. I mean, and she's short, and that's not a joke. I'm not picking on her. It's a fact. She take that volleyball, man. And I never saw myself as a volleyball dad. You understand that? Never in a million years. But I'm about to get one of those volleyball dad stickers. At one point I was, like, on the back. I'm proud. Like, make fun of my volleyball dad stickers. I could care less. Let's go. Bring it on. When she take that thing, and she don't want to throw that ball, like, over the line, throw it in the air, and she go run and jump in the air and jump up and go, boom, and hit that ball. And it goes right over the net, about that high over the net, and hits that girl on the other side and ricochets off and goes up in the stands. I'm like, yeah, baby, that's my girl. It got so bad at one of the tournaments, the lady turned around and she went, shh, you're upsetting them. I said to the guys with me, I said, I guess she don't like a shout. And I said, go to the end, baby, woo! So you're a local pastor. I thought about that after. I was not thinking about that at the time. Amen. Sorry, hon, because we go to church on Wednesday. Why? Because I want to keep what God's given me together. And I don't know how to do it. But there's something, you say, you're the one doing the preaching. You just have no idea how God knows how to feed the preacher. And if I wasn't here doing my job, I wouldn't be getting fed. They're scattered. They're sheep. They don't have a shepherd. You'll notice Jesus Christ had compassion on them. Not just what he saw in verse 36, but what he felt. He felt moved with compassion. That is a painful sympathy. That is where you see somebody else's problem and you take that problem on yourself to such an extent that it brings emotional pain in your life because of what you see them going through. Just talking about looking at the world around us from the eyes of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you looked at them and you hurt for them? Don't take this wrong, but it's... It ain't wrong, so you could take it wrong if you want to be a harsh judge, and that's between you and God. The most compassionate person that I know in my life, the most compassionate person I've ever known, is my wife. She won't ever show you, but I know her. Man, we can go to a funeral of somebody that's detached from us, not even somebody close, and she'll be a week depressed because she can't stop thinking about what that woman would be going through, and she's like literally sitting in that other person's shoes, emotionally speaking. And here I am, you know, come on, suck it up, buttercup, let's go. You got to just keep serving God. And she's like, what is wrong with you? That I've needed that. That's helped me a lot. Because, man, to minister to somebody, you got to be able to feel their pain. You know, I wonder, church, if we would be better soul winners if we actually felt people's pain instead of always being in their face about politics and about whatever liberal agenda they're brainwashed with, but instead we felt their pain a little bit. Do you ever stop to consider that there is a true mental health crisis among the LGBTQ, XY, whatever community? There's a true mental health crisis, and their suicide rates are high. And it's not because you're making them feel guilty because you don't agree with them. It's because of the conviction of sin and the need for a Savior, the need for the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. You ever stop to consider that? I'm just talking about trying to look at it through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Notice what he asks in verse 37. What he saw, what he felt. Look at what he asks. Then said he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." See what the Lord asked? He didn't say, "You know, the harvest isn't as abundant as it used to be." He said, "You guys, there's plenty of people out there. The harvest is plenteous. You know what the problem is? Nobody really cares. Nobody wants to go out there and get them." Can I just give you a news flash here? I want you to know this. This is important to understand. Church is not for lost people. This is for you. You come here, you give to support this thing. It is your effort, your time, your energy that keeps this ministry going. It's for you to get what you need from God. But you know what you ought to do? When you go out there, you're going out into the field. The world is the field. You ought to see who you can bring in here with you. I welcome lost visitors. I welcome people that don't agree with me on every little standpoint. That's fine. Come hear the preaching of the Word of God. This is for you. But you ought to be caring enough about some people to say, "Hey, why don't you come hear what the Lord has to say? Maybe God will speak to your heart this Sunday." You should bring them in. You should care. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God's been working on my heart all week about this, because they're sitting there on Tuesday night and hearing Miss Sahem's story, and my goodness, man. Just how did you even come to know Jesus Christ when you don't have Bibles over there, you don't have open Christianity over there, and she is telling us things even about Islam that will blow your mind. I don't have time to get into all of it this morning, but there are a lot of Muslims, and we got plenty in this area. There are a lot of Muslims who step back with some time and start to say, some of this stuff doesn't make any sense. Some of what we're doing is wrong. The fact that the Prophet Muhammad killed his cousin because she had a beautiful wife and he wanted her wife. They know this about their prophet. And they know that's wrong. But all they've known is what they've been born into and how they've been raised and the pressure from the family and the pressure from religion. And some of them begin to step back and start to question and think through some things and wonder about some things. And then we Christians walk by them because they're wearing a certain type of garment. They're bringing the Taliban here. They're Al-Qaeda. They're bringing all that stuff over here. Well, maybe God's bringing them here because we quit going there. Nobody seems to be asking that question or making that suggestion. All the illegal immigrants. Well, what happened to missionaries going to Mexico? What happened to missionaries going to South America? When we quit, he's sending them in. The least we could do is scratch up what God sends us. But nobody seems to look at it that way. Instead, you've got shallow-minded, selfish, self-centered, self-obsessed preachers all over this nation today that are going to get in their pulpits and preach about building the wall. Preach about immigration. Preach about bringing them over here. Well, I get it. I don't want towers to come down again either. I had just met my wife when it happened. I walked into that massive sanctuary there where they brought us all in Bible college and sat us down, brought down the big screen and let us watch the news of the planes going into the towers. And I got goosebumps all over my body. My blood went cold. The guy next to me didn't realize he wasn't safe. I was like, I could put a knife in somebody. I'm like, right. And I was like, let's go kill him. Don't you dare come over here and do that. And then you make the mistake like the rest of you make and want to see what's going on. So you pull up Fox News and you see those stinking snakes dressed in our clothes, making fun of Iwo Jima, propping up a flag. And I felt that same thing back again. I was like, fuck, fuck, fuck. That was me slitting throats. I get it. I get the... You, I probably shouldn't do stuff like that. I'm a pastor. I'm sorry, guys. Like, really. But I'm just being for real with you. I get the patriotism. But what are you really going to do about all that? Anything? How are you going to stop the madness that this world's on? How are you going to stop the crash course this country has with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? This country's on a crash course with the Word of God. You going to stop it? But don't you think it's possible for you to maybe have some Muslim tracts in your pocket, and when you see them wearing that stuff, for you to say, hey, can I give you something? You might want to keep that to yourself and read it later when you're alone. I got that one from her. Hey, read this later when you're alone. Your family. No, that was you telling me about that yesterday. Handing a tract to a Muslim, it said, read this when you're alone. Thank you. Put it in his pocket to hide it. So his dad doesn't see it. Family doesn't see it. You can do that, can't you? Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. You think if they get born again, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you got to worry about them blowing anybody up? They're not going to get that from a Bible. But we don't see it that way, do we? We're so settled into America and our love for our country and our love for our wealth is what we actually mean. You still going to love America like you love it now when you're living in poverty? Nobody ever stops and thinks about this stuff. I just love my country. Hogwash. You love what your country offers you. You love liberty, you love freedom, you love money, you love granite countertops and heated seats in your car. You love the sports, the pleasure, the safety, the security, the nice warm couch, the carpeted floors. You love the air conditioning. You love what it gives you. Don't talk to me about loving your country if you'll let people die and go to hell around you and argue with them about President Biden. You don't love your country. You love yourself. Get the view of this place that Jesus Christ has. And he said, look at them, you guys. Harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So I'm asking you to pray that the Lord will send somebody to them to tell them about me. Look back in the same chapter, please, chapter 9, look at verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. We need to see it for what it is, because there's a lot of dead people around us. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You realize you were dead before you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're not dead anymore, are you? Spiritually, you've been quickened, right? You know there's dead people everywhere. Let me ask you a question. How's a dead person going to do anything? Listen, if you walk up to me today and like poke me in the eye, grab my ear and twist it and start making fun of my ears, smack me in the face, spit on me, I'm going to do something about it, okay? I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to. It's not going to be in my control by that point. But when I'm dead, if you want to walk up to me at the funeral, I hope I have it in church. I hope I have it right up front in church. And if you want to walk by the casket and go, you know, poke my eyeball, grab my ears, look at this. His ears always were so weird. Look at that. I thought he was deformed. I didn't know that came by his own stupid actions, you know. What am I going to do about it? Nothing. Because I'm dead. You guys realize when you pull on the news and you look at all this stuff going on around you and these kids burning cities down and shooting cops and all the rest of the stuff that they're doing, which that's another one that gets to me. I can't take it, man. I train with some police officers. They're some of the greatest guys you're ever going to meet. I mean, they're jaded and skeptical and bitter and a lot of stuff because all the junk they go through, but they're great guys. They give their life when they could. A lot of them are very intelligent, could be doing something else with their life. They give their life like military men give their life when they could be making more money, to try to keep you safe and then protect your rights while you spit on them. Now, my heart goes out to them guys. They're good guys. You see some loser shoot a cop who's got babies all over the place he doesn't even know. And this guy's got a wife and kids at home. I'm on the cop side. I mean, you know, I wish the days were here when there weren't cell phones and cameras and all the rest of that stuff. He tripped and fell and hit his face 18 times on the hood of my car. I don't know how that happened, but it did. His teeth all came out. I mean, I think it's the drugs that rot your teeth. You know what I'm saying? No, cops shouldn't do that stuff. Well, some of those guys deserve it. After what they just did to somebody's kid, and the cop knows his track record. See, shallow-minded people that jump to conclusions. Stuff burns me up. You see that on the news? Remember, as a Christian, I'm helping you with your cortisol levels. Remember, as a Christian, what do you expect a dead man to do or know other than dead stuff? He needs Jesus. Jesus Christ died for that man to save him from his sin. Just talking about trying to see things from God's perspective. Dead man, this man has a dead daughter, and he knows there's only one thing he can do because there's nothing his daughter can do anymore. You know what he does? By faith, he gets himself to Jesus Christ. Skip over a couple verses there because we have the diseased woman come in. We'll come back to her in just a minute. Look at verse number 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. That's all it was. They were sorrowing like the world sorrows, as others that have no hope. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. You know what Jesus did? He walked up beside that dead girl. He said, she's not dead, she sleeps. And they're like, ha, 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 what an idiot. She doesn't have a pulse, and she doesn't breathe in, and, you know, we poked her in the eye, and she didn't do nothing. She's dead, dead. You understand? She's dead and gone, okay? We've seen dead people before. Jesus doesn't have a clue. I mean, the body's cold. She's dead. But Jesus was God, and he knew the Spirit was still in her because he didn't let the Spirit go yet. And he walked in and said, all right, organs, get going again. Come on, brain, start firing. Let's go. Let's go. Get up, girl. Boom. Come on. Go show them. You know what that shows me? You and I might know some impossible cases, but if we can just get to Jesus and say, Jesus, I got to ask you a question. Would you come on? Would you touch the one that I love? Would you get a hold of the one that I love? What if he doesn't? What if you don't try? I'm not saying everybody you want to see saved is going to get saved. Everybody you want to see get right is going to get right. But I'm saying that they're dead, and some of them don't even have what it takes to get to him. And maybe if you get to him because he knows you and loves you, and you get to him and you ask him to start working, maybe he'll come in and work on them on your behalf. Just talking about seeing it through the Lord's eyes. That's some people I pray for that I don't think there's any hope for. And I say, I know it'll take a miracle. You're right, it'll take a miracle. An absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. Okay. They don't want it. God will never force somebody to take it that doesn't want it. You know that, right? I know that. Doctrinally speaking, God will not override their will. And I'm at peace with that when I approach the Lord and say, God, would you work on this guy and that guy and that guy and that guy? Get him, God. I'm at peace with it if God doesn't, nothing ever comes of it. But I do know this, that if I ask God to convict them and work on them, God may give them another chance because I prayed and asked him. And I prayed in faith, believing that God's the only one that can do it. You ever consider that? Do you ever consider that maybe God will blow up their tires on their car? And the first thing that'll come into their mind is, Dad's been praying for me. You ever consider that maybe their furnace will blow up in the middle of the coldest day? And the first thing that will come into their head is, Dad's been praying for me. Do you ever consider that they'll pull out and get hit in the car and not killed? And the first thing that will pop into their head is, Mom's been praying for me. Do you ever consider they'll get served papers for a divorce they didn't see coming or didn't think was going to come? And the first thing they'll think is, Mom's been praying for me. Do you understand what I'm getting at? When they're dead and there's nothing you can do about it, all you got left is get to Jesus. Because Jesus Christ can do what you can't. He can keep working on them. When they give up, he can keep working. If they're not dead yet physically, there's still hope. But you got to see it through the eyes of God. I'm not trying to promise you that God's going to do something that he winds up not doing. What I'm trying to do is stir you up and excite you and encourage you to get busy seeking God aggressively for those around you that are dead. Get on your face, pray, beg God to work on them. Don't give up! Because if you give up, they have no hope! Number two, there's a diseased woman. Verse number 20, the Lord arises and they're following him. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned him about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now this woman had nobody's help. Everywhere she went, because she's still alive, but she has an issue. And she's trying to find help. And folks, there's a lot of people that aren't that, they're dead in trespasses and sins spiritually, they're not saved, but they're not so dead spiritually that they're done looking for any help at all. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
There are people out there with a problem. They need help, and they've gone everywhere they can to find the help, and for a long time they've had the same problem, and they can't find anybody that can help them with what they've got. This woman, just in her own mind and in her own heart, she's like, I know that if I can find out that Jesus Christ, if I can get to him, if I can get my hands on him, he can do what nobody else can. And folks, there's people out there like that right now. They don't know the truth. They haven't found the solution, but they need it. And they know they need it. And everybody else is so obsessed with pressing into church on Sunday and pressing on Jesus and getting up there close and making sure they're known and making sure they're recognized and making sure they're running something at church and they're over at the water cooler debating about politics from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, and all obsessed with, and they're like, I just need some help. Where is Jesus? And if I could just touch him, if I could just know he's real, if I could just know he's there, I know this will go away. When that woman reached out and touched Jesus Christ, the hem of his garment, problem she's had for 12 years, gone. I don't know if there's anybody listening to the sound of my voice who's looked for help, not been able to find it, and you have a problem and you know you need some help. Right now, where you are, you know, you don't have to be in church. I love altar calls. I think they're great. But you don't have to be in an altar. But you can be anywhere. If you'll realize you're lost and on your way to hell because you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to wash away your sin, and you'll say, Jesus, I want you, I need you. Would you wash away my sin? Would you forgive my soul? Would you be my Savior? Right now, no matter where you are or what's going on, where you are, Jesus Christ knew her thoughts, knew what was going on. He turns around and says, who touches me? When you compare it to another passage, he already knew. He just wanted her to confess it with her mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Is that, it's that easy? It's that easy. It just can't be that easy. If it's so easy, why are you having such a hard time if it's so easy? You ever notice that? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine in unto them. It's that simple. If God made it any harder, nobody would ever go to heaven. Because when you show them from a Bible proof that salvation's by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for you, will you admit you're a sinner? Will you ask him to save you right now? You ever notice they go, why are you struggling, man? Well, what? Look, you know a lot of people are sitting in jail because they know a good deal when they see it? Just saying. Like, there's car keys. That's a Beamer. He ain't looking. That's a good deal. I can't afford a Beamer, you know what I'm saying? You grab the car keys, you jump in the car. There you go. Okay, now you're going to jail, stupid. I'm talking about you can't recognize a good deal when you see it. He's done everything that's got to be done to please God. He shed his blood as a sacrifice and payment for sin. And all you got to do is by faith, trust Jesus Christ to wash away your sin. He proved he loved you already.
Amen.
You just take it. And you say, well, I haven't been saved long enough to really lead somebody to Christ. You don't know what I just told you? You can't find that one person that's been looking for help a long time and seeking God a long time and say, listen, Jesus is your answer. Will you touch him right now? Just in prayer. Just ask him to save you. Just ask him to come into your heart. See what happens. We just don't see him like we ought to see him. All those Muslims, all those Catholics, all those this, all those Pentecostals, all those dunkers, all those water dogs. You know, some of them just believe that stuff because that's all they were ever taught. Nobody ever opened up a Bible and gave them the privilege of what you and I have to have a church like this. To have been trained like God allowed me to be trained, to know what it means to preach and teach the Bible and give them the answers to their questions when they haven't seen that amount of light that you've seen. I'm just saying, I'm just maybe looking at it from God's perspective might help us a little bit. Notice the next group in here is a couple of blind guys. Look at verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Peculiar, the Lord's walking away while they're following him and crying. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Stumbling around, kids. "Thou Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on us." And he just keeps walking. Verse 28, when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Weren't you once that blind man?
Amen.
Trying to find some help? You sought after him. I'm not sure why God works this way, but I know that he does. Sometimes he lets you wallow in your misery long enough to check out your heart and make sure you're serious. And he turns around and gives you the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ. He shows you Jesus Christ. He shows you the truth. He shows it to you from a Bible. "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." You're saved by grace through faith, right?
Yes,
so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a blind man walking around, stumbling around. He's trying to look for the truth. And you say, "Hey man, Jesus is this way. Let me open up something that's so supernaturally bright that when it hits your eyeballs, it's going to activate them and it's going to make your brain start working and recognizing the eyes." And you give them the word of God. Somebody gave it to you. Look at the way they're acting. Yeah, blind people don't act right. They act different. You put a blind person out there in that mess while you got a bunch of sheep scattered running everywhere and all the confusion of that and nobody to guide them and lead them, and they're fainting and falling down and tripping because they're so weak, and then a blind man's walking by and there's a faint guy there. Well, what did you think the blind guy was going to do? Look at how they're acting. Yeah, what did you think? That they're blind. Don't you remember when you were blind? By the way, you look, come in here on Sunday morning, you look around now and everybody's pretty well cleaned up, and you know, you don't know the stories of people sitting next to you and around you. You know just about everything under the sun's in this room right now. I pretty much know a lot of your testimonies. I wouldn't say I know everything about everybody, but I know a lot of your testimonies, and a lot of you don't know each other's. You got miracles sitting in this room. You got people that were such a soup sandwich, there was literally no hope to put them together at all whatsoever. And Jesus Christ showed up, and the light of the Word of God showed up, and a touch from the Savior happened, and somebody helped them out, got them to Jesus Christ, cared enough about them to put the Bible in them, cared enough about them to witness them. Can I just say this without embarrassing anybody? Some of you parents need this. So if you know who you are, and you and I will know who you are, everybody else won't. But there's some parents in here right now, tonight, this morning, that need this. There are some adults sitting in this room right now whose parents are in heaven, and those adults are only here because of the prayers of parents and the efforts parents made while they were little, and then for a large portion of their life they were gone, and now they're sitting here today with mom and dad in heaven, and mom and dad are looking down. If God works it this way, they're looking down from heaven going, "Whoa, we never thought that would happen." But they're here this morning. Some of you parents that are brokenhearted about your kids, and we know what we're talking about, you don't know that there's some sitting in this room who were what your kids are. I'm just saying, don't give up. I'm just saying, look, have some compassion. I'm just saying, look, get it through the eyes of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, Christians, you and I need to be so close to our Savior in this day and in this age. We need to draw close to Him. We need to love Him. We need to realize that He still cares. That's why He's not come back yet. He knows what's going on in the news. None of it surprised the Lord. He wasn't like, oh, what's Biden doing? Oh my goodness, what a mess. What about all the American citizens? Now the Taliban has tanks. Oh, what are we going to do? Holy Spirit, Father, what we got? Call a quick council because it's all falling apart down there, President Biden. Yeah, I'm being extremely sarcastic for a purpose. None of this took the Lord by surprise. Folks, we need to get it through His perspective. Lord, why haven't you come back yet? Hey, guys, I'm coming. But first, I'm long-suffering because I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if my church wakes up, I'm going to let them get in these last days on some of the gleanings of what I had out there. Because I know the main harvest is over, but I still got quite a few out there, and we need to do one last sweep, and we need to glean up just a few more that are out there. And they're looking, and they need help, and they're ready. And God's people are slap asleep. God's people can't see them because we're too busy looking at Fox News. We're too busy criticizing and getting involved in politics and worrying about a virus and a vaccine and all the other stuff that we're all worried about, not harping on you. But can you see it through God's eyes? I'm just asking you to try this week to see it through the eyes of Jesus Christ, and maybe on your way out this morning, grab some tracts and just say, if nothing else, I'll drop one in the public bathroom. If I'm too ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ or ashamed of being made fun of, or if you feel that way, you do need to talk to see him before you leave today about being willing to be a Christian in a Muslim nation when you got to hide, when you meet at your own peril, when you could lose family members and friends, when you have to worry about neighbors coming over and maybe... Just saying, if it's too much to speak up for Jesus Christ. But if it's not, maybe you could consider grabbing some tracts on your way out today. Maybe you could consider trying to talk to somebody instead of preaching the gospel in their face. Maybe you could have some compassion on them and get to hear their story just a little bit and have an opportunity then to lead that into a gospel witness. Randomly standing in a public place yesterday waiting in line. Ethan was there. He saw the whole thing, heard the whole thing. Guy I don't even know from Adam walks up. And literally just, he's like, doing this kind of thing. And just a monster. Guy's 5'5", but just 215 pounds and just wrists. Man, the guy's wrists were, I'm not exaggerating. The guy was a beast. His head was like, and he had like no neck, you know what I'm saying? Just like traps. Ex-military. He's a grappling nightmare. Guy's, you know, big-time grappler and all this stuff. And he just starts dumping his life story on me. I don't know him from Adam. Pretty vulgar, right? I mean, he's telling me about some guy that jumped on him at the gas station, and he's had so much going on, and he said, here's what I said to him. And he just went into a story. We're both standing there. He's got no idea. I didn't look at Ethan because that would tip the guy off, but I'm standing there, and he's like, he has no idea. He's talking to a pastor. And he's telling me the story. And he's saying, I know I shouldn't have said that to him, but it was wrong and all this stuff. But, man, I was just so mad. I've had 6 of my friends die, and 3 of them committed suicide. And that's when I said, in the military? He said, yeah. And after listening to his story and just listening to him talk, I said, well, listen, man, you don't know me from Adam, but I'm a pastor. And I want you to know I'll be praying for you. And times like this in your life, this stuff can either ruin you, or God can use it to start drawing you to himself. And if you'll seek God, you'll find out he's there. And I said, you need to know from a Bible what the Bible says, not religion, not some man, not none of that stuff, not your feelings and your opinions. You need to know from God's field manual. Use that phrase. From God's field manual. what's going on and how to figure it out. He said, can I get your number? What I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to say I'm Mr. Soul Winner. That one was just dumped in my lap, and then I had a witness standing there, so I couldn't drop the ball. Like, man, Pastor Reagan scared to death the witness. I'm not trying to talk like I'm Joe Soul Winner. I'm trying to say people all around us, when you look at them, yeah, what a jerk. You don't know what that jerk's carrying around.
Right.
Might not be a jerk. He might be bluffing because he's trying not to break down crying right now.
Right.
I'm just saying, trying to see it through God's eyes. There are sheep not having a shepherd, and some of them, their only hope is us. And we spend more time on Fox News than we do the King James Bible. We spend more time talking about what's going on in the world than we do talking to Jesus. And we spend more time arguing with the lost world about politics and all the rest of what's going on than we do ever trying to witness to them. And maybe God has some people out there this week for you to reach and for me to reach, but we've got to see this world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed.